Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Yesterday we learned that despite repeated admonitions to refrain from praying for a rebellious nation, the prophet Yirmiyahu would not stop begging Hashem to be merciful. Today we'll turn our attention to the 15th chapter, which is a seamless continuation of that dialogue between Hashem and his messenger Yirmiyahu. In the first 10 verses, Yirmiyahu records how Hashem mournfully clarified that there is nothing any advocate can do to mitigate the punishment to which the Judean kingdom has been justly sentenced. The die had been cast, and no one, no matter how righteous, could turn the tide. Yirmiyahu relates Hashem's words that came as he was leading the people assembled in Yerushalayim in prayer. Vayomer Hashem elai, im yamod Moshe u'Shmuel lefanai, ein nafshi el ha'am hazeh. Shalach me'al panai ve'yitzehu. Hashem said to me, even if Moshe and Shmuel should stand before me, my heart would not go out to this people. Send them away from my presence and let them depart. Rashi explains that Hashem mentions Moshe and Shmuel, two great leaders, both of whom could appeal for a merciful reprieve because they had already reproved the people and succeeded in arousing them to do tshuva. Moshe prayed after Chet HaEgel but secured forgiveness only after he had cleaned house. The 32nd chapter of Shmot relates that he destroyed the golden calf and then reproached the sinners and forcefully repelled those who resisted. And only then did he make a successful plea to Hashem for mercy. Similarly, Shmuel directed the people of Israel to expunge all idolatry, and only later would he pray for them, as the text demonstrates in the 7th chapter of Shmuel Aleph. First, Shmuel spoke to all of the house of Israel and told them, "If you return to Hashem with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtarot from among you, and direct your hearts to Hashem and serve him only. Then he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And we're then told, "Then the children of Israel put away the Baalim and the Ashtarot and served Hashem exclusively." Thereafter we read, Shmuel said, "Gather all the people to Mitzpah, and I will pray for you to Hashem." But Yirmiyahu had not succeeded in persuading the masses to repent, and therefore his pleas were rejected. Instead, Yirmiyahu is dispatched to deliver a message of doom. Hashem tells him, "V'haya ki yomru elecha, ana netze, v'amarta lahem, ko amar Hashem, asher lamavet, lamavet. Vasher lacherev lacherev, vasher larav larav, vasher lashevi lashevi." If they ask you, "Where shall we go?" you are to tell them that this is what Hashem says: "Those destined for death, to death. Those destined for the sword, to the sword. Those destined for famine, to famine. And those destined for captivity shall go to captivity." Then, adding salt to his wounds, Hashem continues, "Ufakadti alahem arba mishpachot neum Hashem, et acherev laharog, vet aklavim lischov, vet of hashamayim vet behemata aretz lechol ulhashchit, venetatim lezvaa lechol mamlachot haaretz, בגלל מנשה בן יחזקיהו, מלך יהודה, על אשר עשה בירושלים." "I will point over them four kinds of destroyers," declares Hashem. "The sword to kill, the dogs to drag away, and the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy the carcasses. I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Menashe, son of Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, did in Yerushalayim." The horrific punishment is unavoidable, given the abominations that began in the days of Menashe and were never fully uprooted, even during the Reformation initiated by Yoshiyahu. But then rage gives way to grief, as Hashem himself mourns the decadence and the reluctant destruction of his beloved nation, in verses 5 through 7. כי מי יחמול עלייך ירושלים, ומי ינוד לך, ומי אסור לשאול לשלום לך. את נטשת אותי נאום השם, אחור תלכי, ואת את ידי עלייך, ואשחיתך נלאיתי הנכם. ועזרם במזרה בשערי הארץ, שיקלתי, איבדתי את עמי, מדרכיהם לא שבו. Who will have pity on you, Yerushalayim? Who will mourn for you? Who will stop to ask how you are? You have abandoned me, declares Hashem. You keep on backsliding, so I will reach out and destroy you. I'm tired of holding back. I will separate the chaff from the grain with a winnow in the gates of the land. I'm bereaved. I have lost my people, for they have not turned back their ways. God continues to forewarn. The Judean kingdom will be betrayed by its allies, its citizens scattered to the wind or killed on the battlefield, and the multiple widows, abused and left decrepit, will fade in their lonely sorrow. Unable to withstand the horror, Yirmiyahu cries out in frustration in verse 10. Overcome by the futility of his efforts, the uselessness of his prayer. Oy li imi ki redatani, ish ri v'ish madon lechol ha'aretz, lo nashiti velo nashu bi, kulo mekaleleni. Woe to me, my mother, that you birthed me, a man of strife and conflict throughout the land. I have neither lent nor borrowed, yet everyone curses me. In response to this plaintive lament, Hashem pledges to strengthen and protect Yirmiyahu, repeating earlier promises to make the prophet invincible, like an iron pillar, and punish all those who harass Yirmiyahu. Hashem tries to comfort him in verse 11. Surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will intercede with your enemy in your time of trouble, in your time of distress. But it must have been small comfort to hear that his fellow Jews, even those who persecuted and imprisoned him, would be taken captive in chains, while he would survive to continue in God's service. Hashem promises that those who would not heed the warnings and rebukes of the prophets are doomed, as he admonishes the leaders of Yehuda. Your wealth and your treasures I will give up as plunder, without charge for all your sins, within all your borders. Then I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for my anger will kindle a fire that will burn against you. Would Yirmiyahu feel triumphant seeing those predictions come true? Would the years of his suffering be vindicated by the fulfillment of Hashem's pledge to punish his tormentors? After all, when he was tortured and cursed by the very people he tried to save, Yirmiyahu had begged, "Ata yadata Hashem, zochreini ufogdeini vihinakem li mirodfai. El le'erech apcha tekacheini, da seiti alecha cherpa. Hashem, you know, remember me and attend to me and avenge me of my persecutors. Don't take me away, that is, let me die, because you are slow to anger. Know that for your sake I have suffered humiliation." But concurrently, Yirmiyahu admits that prophetic communion with Hashem was initially ecstatic, even if it entailed visions of his own people's agony and required that he be the bearer of horrible prognostications. נמצאו דבריך ואוכלם, והיא דברך לי לססון ולשמחת לבבי, כי נקרא שמך עלי השם אלוקי צבקות. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words were to me a joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Hashem, God of the armies. But that honor and thrill left an aftertaste of pain and bitterness. The gratification gave way to the darkest loneliness, as he so aptly describes in verses 17 and 18. לא ישבתי בסוד משחקים, ואלוז מפני ידך, בדד ישבתי, כי זעם מילאתני. למה היה כאבי נצח, ומכתי אנושה, מעיני הרפא, היו תהיה לי כמו אכזב מים לא נאמנו. I never sat with a band of revelers, nor did I celebrate with them, because your hand was on me. I sat alone, for you filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending, and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? You have indeed become like a mirage to me, water that is not there. Yirmiyahu's outpouring of personal pain and frustration elicits a softened response from Hashem in the closing paragraph of this chapter, beginning with verse 19. Which is subject to varying interpretations by the classic commentaries. Lachen ko amar Hashem, im tashuv ve'ashivcha lefanai ta'amod, v'im totzi yakar mizolel, kifi tihiye. Yashuvu hema elecha, ve'ata lo tashuv elehem. Radak sees the first clause of this verse as a harsh rebuke, for Yirmiyahu implying that Hashem had betrayed the prophet by becoming a mirage, and interprets the first phrase, only if you repent, I'll take you back and let you stand before me as my servant. Rashi, in contrast, suggests that Hashem acknowledges Yirmiyahu's frustration and fear as he cajoles the prophet gently. If you bring the people back to me, I will take you back to serve as their advocate, as well as my trusted servant. Accordingly, in the second phrase, if you bring forth the precious from the vile, Hashem is challenging Yirmiyahu to try once again to persuade some, if not all, the people to come back to God, and then he may again pray and intervene on their behalf. Moreover, Hashem will empower him. You shall be as my mouth, endowing Yirmiyahu with a special power given to worthy leaders. Tzadik gozer, v'hakadosh baruch hu mekayem. The tzadik decrees, and Hashem fulfills his decrees. And in the third clause, Hashem promises Yirmiyahu that he will live to see even his tormentors running after him for help and intervention, promising that he won't need to run after them any longer. This chapter ends with Hashem's reassurance for his long-suffering and loyal servant, Yirmiyahu. They shall fight against you, but they shall never prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the hand of the terrible. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.